Welcome to the Choose You Netcast. This is Jim Langlois with a word from Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's my prayer that this netcast will encourage and cheer you on as we join forces to draw the line in the sand, defending our faith and our households in the resurrection power of Jesus. Join me each weekday as we dig deeply into God's amazing word and bring up the rich treasures of his blessings. Are you ready?
Choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house. I said choose you this day whom you will serve. But that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.
Morning, Net World, and thank you for tuning in. We're continuing with our series called Ministering Angels. Our text is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, which says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Wow, I love ministering angels. Yesterday we talked about some of their characteristics, like they're innumerable. They excel in strength. Some have four wings, and some have five wings. And we have names for three angels. One is Lucifer, another's Michael, and a third is Gabriel. And then we know of three types of angels, that being archangels, seraphim, and cherubim. And we talked about the fivefold ministry of angels out of Psalm 103, verses 20 through 21, which says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure." So angels are specifically designed to do five things. One, they excel in strength. Two, they do his word. Three, they heed the voice of his word. Four, they bless the Lord. And five, they do his pleasure. And yesterday we were also talking about angel food cake, where Elijah, who was tired from running from Jezebel, fell asleep under a broom tree, also known as a juniper tree, and an angel woke him up and had a meal prepared for him, a baked cake and water. And that was out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. It says, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." That is definitely angel food cake. We also know that they're messengers. Mary received a very important message from the angel Gabriel. We could say that Mary got mail from God, or voicemail at any rate. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the angel Gabriel appeared and spoke to Mary with a prophetic word that she would be a virgin mother to the Son of God, ending with the words, "For with God nothing will be impossible." That's an encouraging word, and it came from an angel. The Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible, in talking about angels as messengers, said, "With God's word as our source of information, we see that angels may be actively involved in assisting the advance of the church on earth through messages. Philip had evangelized in Jerusalem and Samaria, but it was a messenger angel who told him to go into the desert where he met the Ethiopian eunuch." Acts chapter 10 also reveals angelic intervention on behalf of Cornelius, and the church was enlarged to include Gentiles. As with the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, angelic activity did not cease after the time of the apostles. Angels are still actively involved with building God's kingdom on earth. Nevertheless, wisdom teaches we would do well to heed Paul's warning, where he says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And that's from Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Any angelic message must be judged by God's eternal word of truth. Great advice from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. So, take note, not all messages from angels can be trusted. Remember, even Satan, through deception, can appear as an angel of light. We read that yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And there are two religions that were started by one angel appearing to one man who published one book. The first religion is Islam, and an angel appearing to Muhammad around 609, where he wrote the Quran. And then there's Mormonism, where an angel appeared to Joseph Smith around 1830, and he wrote the Book of Mormon. I would not put my faith in one man who saw one angel and was the sole author of the movement. So watch out for fallen angels. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." And then Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." J. Lee Grady has a good article he wrote called "Deception and a Cry for Biblical Truth." And this is just a portion of the article. He says, "At a growing Brazilian church in Boston, a pastor told his congregation he was having regular conversations with an angel. Weeks later, he set a chair on the stage for the heavenly visitor, whom he said was attending Sunday services even though no one could see him. The pastor eventually wrote a book containing messages he had supposedly received from the angel. The man's teachings became so bizarre that he was eventually removed from his denomination for promoting heresy. Evangelist Todd Bentley, leader of the Lakeland Revival, stirred up interest in angels when he wrote about Emma, a female angel he said wears a long white dress, floats above the floor, and resembles Catherine Kuhlman. A young evangelist who was preaching in Canada last spring held up a jar with a feather in it and told the congregation it belonged to an angel who visits him. He said the angel was coming to the service to release riches and healing to those who wanted prayer. Leaders of the prophetic movement often speak of angels that bring healing, wealth, and special anointings. Some have described angels as tall as skyscrapers, while others say they have seen tiny angels the size of insects. One prophet spoke of angels who are sleeping inside the walls of churches. Another segment of believers claim that the glowing circles of light that often show up on photographs are angels in the form of orbs. With such exotic teachings on the rise, we desperately need some biblical guidelines. If you believe everything you hear these days, angels can be huge, tiny, spherical, male, female, feathered, or non-feathered. What's next? Yipping dog angels, mermaid angels with fins, court jester angels with bells on their hats? There is no case in the New Testament church in which an angel gave his name or brought attention to himself. That's an interesting article by J. Lee Grady. The Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible talks about Lucifer being an angel in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "Satan was once an angel called Lucifer, who, in love with his own beauty, fell into pride and self-centeredness. His rebellion manifests in five I will statements addressed against God. With five utterances, he declares he will take the place of the Most High God. But verses 15 through 20 reveal that God has the last word as the Most High makes five responses. It says, "Satan, you will, 1, be thrown into hell, 2, be gazed upon, that is, made a spectacle, 3, be talked about, mocked and scorned, 4, be cast out of your grave like a carcass, and 5, be alone." God's last word on Satan is still applicable to any challenge he attempts to bring against any of the people of God. And then, concerning Revelation 12, verse 7, the Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible talks about fallen angels. It says, "The scriptures reveal both good angels and evil angels. The evil entities are those angels who rebelled with Lucifer and were cast out of heaven with him. Their minds and understanding have been covered with the horrible darkness of deception, the same tactic Satan still uses to lead his victims astray. They were created in God's original order to do his will, as those angels who continue in obedience to his throne. But these did not keep their proper domain, and now are agents of the adversary, bound under his dark dominion and serving Satan's rebellious enterprises." and it references Jude 6, which says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Yes, there are fallen angels, but there are also good angels. Yes, they can make angel food cake, but they can do many other things too. First, they all worship God. In Nehemiah 9:6, it says, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." They also, angels are the ones who carried the beggar to paradise. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 says, "So it was that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." One angel released Peter from prison in Acts chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. When they were past the first and the second guards, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Another angel encouraged Paul with a message. In Acts chapter 27, verses 23 through 24, we read, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" And then we find there are angels who keep watch over little ones. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." I like the Living Bible version of Matthew 18, 10. It says, "Beware that you don't look down upon a single one of these little children, for I tell you that in heaven their angels have constant access to my Father." And don't forget, angels ministered to Jesus in the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Well, how do you think they ministered to Jesus? Did they feed him and give him water? Did they have a message of edification, exhortation, and comfort? The Bible does not tell us specifics. However, it obviously worked. We find that in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region." Let's read our text scripture, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Wow, how do they do it? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, "They are innumerable. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Can you fathom that? Wow. One thing we don't have is an innumerable amount of time. I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. I call you blessed.
You have been listening to the Choose You Netcast with Jim Langlois. If you have enjoyed this program, you can find out more about Jim Langlois Ministries on the Master's House website at tmhnow.org. That's tmhnow.org. On the media tab, you can listen to many more messages, subscribe to my daily devotional emails, and follow the link to my blog site. If you'd like to write me or become a financial partner with this ministry, my address is The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. That's The Master's House, Post Office Box 1568, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23116. Online donations can also be made at tmhnow.org, and my email address is pastorjim@tmhnow.org. This is Jim Langlois saying be blessed, you and your whole household. Until next time.
Choose you this day, but that's for me and my house, me and my house, me and my house.